Hi, I'm Martin Zender. This is the Revelation series, and who are the people who are going to be awakened? Who are the people for whom the figurative light bulb will appear, who will suddenly realize their place under God, their destiny? They are around us. They surround us. They are church people. They are people who have a bend for Israel. They're either part of the 144,000 or the vast throng, or they are the riffraff of Israel, those who will not be sealed, but who will go through the indignation and possibly be killed, or if they survive, they must overcome. They must not take the mark of the beast. These are the people who God will awaken, because now they're ignorant. And I've been told, Martin, how can you say that Israel is still viable today during this era of the nations? And they point out to there being no faithful people on the earth. They point out to there being no temple. And my contention is always, since when are Israelites faithful? Those people who are going to be awakened and called are not faithful people. You will find that they will, however, carry all the traits of an Israelite. And what are some of the traits of an Israelite? They will be haughty. They will be high in their own estimation. They will be holding to false teachings. They will be hypocrites. They will be using God for their own advantage. They will be looking down on other people. They will claim that they are the people and everyone else is doomed. They will be interested mainly in money. Again, they will use the name of Christ. They will take the name of Christ in vain. They will use him and his name for their own advantage. These are the marks of Israelites. They're stubborn, stiff-necked people. They don't know the truth. They're quick to shed blood. They tell people not to lie while they lie. They tell people not to steal while they steal. What I am basically describing is Christianity, or even Orthodox Jewry. These kinds of people are all in the same boat. You could just simply put them in one package, saying they're religious. And they love the law. They want to work for God. These are the people about to be awakened with the constellation of September 23rd. It's not that the constellation is the cause of it. It's not that because there's an alignment in the heavens, there's going to be some kind of magnetic attraction, some sort of pull like the moon upon the tides. It's not going to be anything like that. This is a signal by God that something is starting. And once it starts, it happens swiftly. The whole movement now begins. So am I looking for headline news on September 24th? No, I told you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for tons of disappointed Christians apologizing for getting the date wrong yet again. This is not the date of the snatching away. At least no internal part of either Micah chapter 5 or Revelation chapter 12 can be used to forward the snatching away of the body of Christ, because none of these passages directly involve the body of Christ. They involve Israel. And these people who are claiming that they're the members of the body of Christ, they fit the description I gave you, that they're ignorant. They love the command, the precepts of men rather than the precepts of God, the traditions of humanity. They love over God's precepts, and they use these traditions to overrule, override God's precepts. And they are, tribulation oriented. They like the idea of overcoming, because they want to succeed in the flesh. So these people are going through the tribulation. They will be prepared for the tribulation. They will be shocked when they wake up in the tribulation. When I say wake up, I mean that figuratively. However, once they're enlightened, they will realize this is it. We're not in the body of Christ. They will become aware that the body of Christ is not on the earth. Now, don't get confused by that. When they become aware, it could be that the body of Christ will still be on the earth. In the first century, we had circumcision and uncircumcision saints mingling. And we still have it today. But ours is the active call. We are not an evangel in waiting. Israel is. We're active. We're in play. Israel is simply holding fast to the promises. When the enlightenment comes, they will realize that there's another people on the earth. And if our snatching away does not happen prior to this enlightenment, then it will happen relatively soon afterwards. Most of the kingdom teachers I know, and I do know some, I do know people who teach the kingdom of God, who teach mainly Israel truth, who love the covenants. They love the word covenant. They love the word priesthood. They love the feasts of Israel. They love the law. They love to read the four gospels. They love the book of James. Absolutely adore it. These people, these kinds of people, they revel in the indignation. And if you look, I think, to try to find where these people are, you will find people who mock the idea, the very idea of the snatching away, that there will be people who will escape trial. Israelites aren't about escaping trial. They are like soldiers wanting to prove themselves on a field of battle. Well, they're going to get exactly what they want. Because the day of indignation that these church people are called to will try them to their very foundation. It's true that some of them just want to escape to heaven. And these are among those whose love of God is based only on advantage in the flesh. And these will fall away. Like the stages of a rocket. They're going to fall away and dissolve over the atmosphere and die in the ocean. Others will hear the battle cry and they will respond like true Israelites. And they will realize that the tribulation for them will be a proving ground, and it will result, if they endure to the end, in glory for them. This is how they speak of it. They know they're slated, or they will know they're slated to endure it. The remnant today, those of Israel who are enlightened today, even those proselytes of Israel, because remember, it doesn't, for the 144,000, yes, you must be a literal descendant of Abraham from way back. You have to trace your genealogy, and many, who can trace their genealogy that far back? Most Americans I know trace their genealogy to European roots, but again, how many trace it behind European roots? I say that many of the European roots can be traced to these lost 10 tribes, the vast number of Israelites who escaped north and west following the Assyrian captivity. And they know they're meant for earth. They're slated for earth. They love the earth. Most of them assume that they will be sealed through that time. The Jehovah's Witnesses think that they're the 144,000. That's their big deal. I've talked to people who think that they're one of the two witnesses, as if that's the greatest call you could possibly be. Oh, I'm one of the two witnesses. If anybody tells me that, I look at them with sadness and pity. It's like, sorry about your luck. Sorry about your luck. You're one of the two witnesses? That stinks. So either, again, they're part of the 144,000 or the vast throng of Revelation 7:9. We talked about the vast throng. That's the concordant wording when we went through Revelation chapter 7. But this is the quote now from Revelation 7:9. The vast throng comes out of, quote, every nation and out of every tribes and peoples and languages. So most of these, therefore, will not be called forth from the land of Israel. Listen to the wording again. The vast throng comes out of every nation and out of every tribe, peoples, and language. Most of these are not going to be centered in the one nation where you would expect them to come from. And I'm going to give you a passage in Isaiah that's going to prove this to you. They don't live in Israel. They live everywhere else but Israel. Amos 9:9 confirms that the house of Israel, that is the remnant of the northern tribes, was shaken among, quote, among all the nations, unquote. Among all the nations. That's Amos 9:9. Now, put that up against Revelation 7:9. The vast throng comes out of every nation and out of the tribes and peoples and languages. And we have two puzzle pieces fitting together here. That what is coming forth very soon is the same people, descendants of the same people, who were scattered among all the nations. Now they're going to be regathered from all the nations. Scattered, regathered. Who is scattered and regathered? The house of Israel, not the house of Judah. I believe that those people living in Israel now, in Jerusalem, they're descendants of the house of Judah. They're the recognized Jews. They can trace their stock. They can trace their genealogy. We're Jews. We're Jews. We're Jews. The house of Israel don't know they're Jews, but they are. And these are the people out of which God calls those whom he has known beforehand and seals them, or doesn't seal them. I don't believe the vast throng is sealed, but the 144,000 are sealed. So here's the different categories of Israel today. There's the remnant. The remnant knows what's going on. Some of the people, the teachers I knew growing up in the faith, I first tied into some of the circumcision teachers before I realized Paul's evangel was different and that I was called to a different evangel. The remnant knows the score. The remnant knows that they are of the lost house of Israel and that they are destined to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. It's a very small group, thus remnant. Now, then you have the 144,000. They're alive today somewhere. They will be sealed to go through the day of indignation. They are literal Israelites. The remnant are mostly, probably, from way back, literal Israelites. Again, none of them can trace their genealogy, but I say, if your genealogy is naturally from Israel, you will display Israelite traits. And we're surrounded by these people. Surrounded by these people. And again, they're zealous for the law. There were tens of thousands of Jews, it is said by Luke in the book of Acts. Tens of thousands of Jews, yet were jealous. They believed in Jesus Christ, but they're zealous for the law. These people believe in Jesus Christ. I should say right now that outside of the three groups I'm going to describe to you right now, the remnant, the 144,000, and the vast throng, there is the vast number of people who are apostates. The house of Judah, the remnants thereof, are included in that group. They're apostates. They're totally acting like disobedient Israelites. And again, I look for the lost 10 tribes, not by national ties, but by behavior. What are they doing? How are they acting? Are they using the word of God for their own purposes? Are they looking to make money off of it? Are they hypocrites? Are they condemning other people? Are they trying to hoard the blessings of God for themselves? They're Israelites from way back. That's how you find them. By their religious associations, their religious bents. They love the traditions of humanity more than the truth of God. They look down their noses on other people. Those are your Israelites. That's the fodder. That's the grounds. Those are the people from whom God's going to call his people and bring them to the land. And that's what it says. We're going to go back to Ezekiel. We're going to go back to the last part of that passage where the dry bones are coming to life. I'm going to show you how God is going to reunite the tribes of Judah, the descendants of the tribes of Judah, and the people of the house of Israel. He's going to reunite them, and he's going to bring them to his land. And Isaiah is going to verify what we're finding in Amos 9:9 and Revelation 7:9, that the same people who are scattered will be called. And where will they be called from? Not from Israel. Isn't that strange? That they won't be called from Israel because they're not in Israel. So you have the 144,000, and you have the vast throng. And then there is those who are dead now, like the bones in the Valley of Dry Bones. And this calling, this illumination, this realization will dawn on them, and then they will, there, I call them, you know, the riffraff. It's not very complimentary, but for them, it's going to be a tough go, really, because they're going to have to prove themselves. I really shouldn't call them the riffraff, because the riffraff are the ones who are going to, it's going to be shown right away. When they realize that the snatching away happened, or the majority of them will still be looking for the snatching away, but when they finally dawns on them, when the 100-pound hailstones hit, when the locusts hit, when it finally dawns on them that they have missed the rapture, and that they're in the tribulation, it will dawn on them. They're gonna say, screw this, screw God, I hate God, God lied to me. And it's going to be shown that they never loved God in the first place, because if they knew God or they loved God, they would follow him anywhere. And they would say, this is your, just like we do. This is your lot for my life. You're sovereign. They don't know God's sovereign. You're sovereign, therefore everything I go through, you're going to help me through. No, they're not going to think that way, because they have never known the sovereign God. So they're going to be very angry, and they're going to deny him. And they're going to kill themselves, or just get the last bits of pleasure they can get out of this earth while it's falling apart. They're going to hide in the caves, curse God, shake their fists, and they're going to deny him, and they're going to hate him, because they hate him. Well, they don't have any really opportunity to hate him now, because they never knew him. Birds of a feather do flock together, and most of the lost tribes occupy Europe and the Americas, wherever the Bible is sold and misinterpreted. It's another trait of Israel. They sell the Bible and they misinterpret it, and they use it as a weapon to kill other people. Instead of using it as a blessing, they misinterpret it. They assume that they are the ones who are bringing light to the world, and they're the people, wisdom dies with them. And this is another trait of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. In closing, these are the people to watch for. What I would watch for after September 23rd of this year, I would look for any changes in your friends and your church people. I would look at them like this. Really study them. Something's going to happen if they're called. And don't look for them to suddenly embrace your gospel. Don't look for them to understand Paul. They are going to go even deeper. One of two things. They're either going to go deeper into the circumcision evangel, and they're going to become more militant in their arguments against Paul. Or they're going to just, they're destined to fall away, to be the riffraff, and you won't see any change in them. The majority you probably won't see any change in, but there are selected ones who you will see changes in. And they will gravitate toward literature now. And there is literature out there about the kingdom of God. They will gravitate toward literature. One of the main publishing houses for these kinds of people is like Destiny Publishers in Merrimack, Massachusetts. I used to read some of their material. So their material is geared for people. It's the Worldwide Church of God types. Those types who observe the Feast of Israel, see themselves as carriers of the law, of the next generation of Israelite truth. These kinds of people are going to get serious. They're going to really get serious. And they're going to strangely want to go to Israel. If I was in the business world, I would start an airlines called Jerusalem Airlines, and there's going to be a lot of people heading over there, not realizing why they're doing it, but just realize knowing that they have to get back to their roots. This is what I'm going to be looking for. This is what's going to happen, because it's not starting from scratch. God never starts from scratch. If you're to believe, I'll end with this, if you're to believe the concordant teaching, now I'm a fan, I'm a big supporter of the Concordant Publishing Concern, but I don't agree with everything they say because I'm a critical studier and thinker. But if you were to believe A.E. Knox's writing on this particular topic, you would believe that at the snatching away, there's going to be not a faithful Israelite left on the earth, because anybody who names the name of Christ today is automatically, by default, in the body of Christ. I think that's ridiculous, because these people don't even like Paul. They don't embrace any of Paul's gospel. The fact that they say the name Jesus Christ, does that mean they're in the body of Christ? If they have a metal fish applique on their car, that means they're of the faith? No, it does not mean anything of the kind. God never leaves himself short. But A.E. Knox contradicts himself in other writings. He says in this very book we're studying, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, he says that the snatching away will by no means be the end of Christianity. How can that be if anybody who claims to be a Christian is snatched away? It can't be. If everybody who claims to be a Christian is snatched away, then there's not one faithful person of Jewish stripe on the planet. Now, this is not the way God does it. All through this current era, he has kept for himself a remnant according to grace, according to his choice, a remnant of faithful Israelites. And so through the ages, there has been this remnant, but as the days grow short, the information, I believe, beginning in the early part of the 20th century, became available, and many people now started to swell. The ranks of the potential circumcision people who are going to be enlightened and changed began to swell. And we have a lot more people now who they're still not totally on board, but now they become a ground. They become a pool that God's going to draw from to bring his people to Zion.